Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and today is Sunday, October 6, 2013. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Our topic for this evening is how etiquette relates to your health. Well, we have some very useful information, so you want to go ahead and prepare to take notes. Okay, but first of all, since the name of our show is a question, we certainly want to address that answer. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome to the show. The segment we're titling, Be Kind to Your Mouth. Okay, you're probably wondering, well, what does etiquette have to do with your health or your mouth? Well, we're going to tell you in just a moment. Have a very special guest coming up, Dr. Tammy Armstrong-Williams. She's a dentist, and she is a wealth of information, and we are going to bring her on. Let's see. Dr. Tammy.
Yes, hello, Ms. Riley.
How are you this evening?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy Sunday to you. I'm excited that you are here with us this evening and taking, you know, some time out of your schedule. We certainly do appreciate that. Of course, as soon as we send out our blast, we receive questions, and it has been no different this evening. We've got lots of questions already, but I just want to let you guys know, Dr. Tammy Armstrong-Williams, we've known each other, maybe about 4 years or so, I believe,
Yes.
And you've been practicing for quite some time. Can you just kind of tell people what your some of your specialty areas are?
Yeah, sure. I have been practicing since 2000. And I practice in the field of general dentistry. We do family dentistry as well as cosmetic and implant dentistry.
So, wow. Okay. So you are 13 years in. I'm sure that there's not too much that you haven't seen at all.
No. I actually received my degree in 2000 from the Medical College of Georgia, which is now Georgia Regents University. Yes, I've been practicing for 13 years, and there's not a whole lot at this point that I have not seen.
Sure, great, because we have all sorts of questions. I didn't know if you wanted to just start with any general information that you would like to give, or would you like for me to just kind of go right into the questions?
Sure, let's go into the questions.
Okay, great. Well, here's one that says, Dear Etiquette Lady, thanks for all the wonderful topics you address on your show. Can you please ask your guests how old should your child be when they have their first dental exam, the recommended age? And this comes from Ms. Myers in Texas.
Oh, that's a great question. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that you take your child whenever they get their first tooth, which is around age 6 to 7 months. We are a little bit different in our general dentistry focus. We usually tell our patients to bring their child in around age 3, And if they want to bring the child in before age 3, to please bring them in as they get their teeth cleaned every 6 months and let the child kind of watch what's going on and get some level of comfort with our office before we see the child as a patient. Now, we do see children before age 3 if the parent has any concern or specific, if they notice an issue or a problem that needs to be addressed before age 3. But usually in our office, we're doing their first cleaning around age 3. If the child needs to be seen before that age, then we recommend a pediatric dentist.
Okay, great. That's a really good idea, bringing them in so they can just, kind of be made aware of what's going to go on when they have to sit in the chair themselves.
Right. A lot of times it's very helpful because they get to see that it's not a very scary visit to get your teeth cleaned. So it's very helpful.
Great. Okay, the next one says, Dear Etiquette Lady, my family and I listen to your show weekly because you have fascinating topics. I would like to ask the doctor, what is the best way to select a dentist that would be compatible for the entire family? And this comes from Melbert Affini in Gainesville.
Well, that's also a great question. You know, my favorite way to receive patients is by word of mouth, and I also think that is a great way to find a dental practice or any healthcare practice for that matter. I think if you have friends and coworkers in your area that have a good office or a good relationship with their dental office, that's a great way to get recommendations. Word of mouth is just, there's just nothing better than that to me. I trust that more than, internet sites or more than any other way to really find your provider. Talk to your friends, your family, your coworkers, and ask them who they trust.
And I would probably add to that, check out their teeth, see how their teeth look. Would that be fair?
Yeah, sure, that's fair to say.
Okay, because I know quite naturally if their teeth is not really looking really pretty or beautiful, you may not want to go to that particular dentist.
Select someone with a nice smile and ask that person.
There we go. All right, let's see. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady, thanks for your show. I would like to know how the dental insurance will be affected by the new Obamacare laws. I currently don't have insurance, and this comes from George Baker in Atlanta.
Well, that's a very good question that I do not really know the answer to yet. I think we're all waiting to see what the effects are going to be on the insurance plans that our patients currently have. Dental insurance is a little different than medical insurance, and, for the most part, people don't have the same level of coverage. Dental insurance usually provides about $1,000 to $1,500 a year of coverage, and we do not expect to see a great difference in that coverage level. What we may see, we're just not sure yet. We're waiting to see how that really is going to affect the field. I think it's a much bigger issue for the health, for the medical insurance field than it is for the dental insurance. But we are, I'm anxious to see how it goes, and maybe in 6 months or a year, I could probably answer that question a lot better than I can now.
So what do you think about dental insurance being purchased separate on its own apart from medical?
Well, I think individual insurance plans that you purchase that are not provided by your employer are oftentimes very expensive and have very little coverage. So for most people, it is better to, start a health savings account instead of purchasing a dental insurance individual plan. Most of the time, those premiums are, like I said, very expensive and offer very little coverage. So I try to discourage people from that and really encourage people to do a health savings account or to, you know, obviously if they have an employer that offers benefits, that's a much safer way to go, a much cheaper way to go, and it offers better coverage.
Okay, great. All right, well, what I'd like to do now is talk a little bit about, you know, again, the etiquette side of healthcare. I want to talk a little bit about appointments and making appointments and the importance of making appointments, in addition to if you cannot keep your appointment, you want to make sure that you call in advance. And it's generally, you know, a 24 to 48-hour window. Isn't that the case generally if you have to cancel your appointment?
Yes. Yes, we greatly appreciate 24-hour notice for cancellations. That allows us to use that time for, we always have a call list of patients who are anxious to get into the office. And if you give us a 24-hour notice, that allows us to fill that provider time, whether it be with a hygienist or a doctor. So I think that's a great courtesy to your doctor, you know, that you do try to give that. Now, we do understand that emergencies are going to occur, and sometimes within that 24-hour period, you're going to have an emergency where you have to cancel your appointment, and we try to be understanding of that as well.
Okay. And I know that sometimes, and it you know, I don't know if it's anything, when we did a survey regarding wait time in the physician's office, it wasn't really streamlined, whether with dentistry or general medicine. But it came back where some of the patients were concerned about wait time. And can you explain, because I know sometimes I've experienced wait times in my medical doctor's office and waiting. And I remember years ago I had a situation where I think I had waited like over an hour, and then I went up to the desk to inquire as to, you know, about how much longer it would take. And so at that time, I was told that the doctor wasn't there. So that prompted me to write an article about that, because just basically, had we been informed that the doctor wasn't there, we could have made up our mind whether we wanted to stay there or whether we wanted to actually try to reschedule and come back. And just like you were saying, you know, with patients, oftentimes emergencies do come up. And that's why, you know, and I'm just thinking about the courtesy on both sides of the medical business. But I know sometimes, too, you guys have an emergency where you may have to do an emergency surgery or something like that. So can you talk about that just a little bit? So a lot of these patients will be, you know, a little more comfortable and understanding in the event that they are, you know, put in this particular position and it's not being something that's being done deliberately.
Yes, sure. First of all, no one likes a long wait period, whether it's at a physician's office, a dental office, you know, any time you are subject to an extended wait, it's very frustrating. And in our office, we always try to really be aware of how long we're making our patients wait in the waiting room and minimize that time. But a couple of things that really help us, we encourage our patients to, you know, if you're scheduling your dental cleaning on your lunch hour and you have to be out in an hour, we encourage them up front to tell us that so that we're aware of that on the front end and we can try our best to facilitate that. You know, and also, you know, we really try to minimize the time our patients have to wait in the waiting area, but we do recognize that sometimes we're going to have to work in emergency patients and we're going to get behind. So I think, you know, just a high level of communication, if the front office is very communicative with the patients and the patients are communicating well with the front office staff, it really minimizes those miscommunications that can really be annoying for everyone. And I think we've all experienced that, and I am very sympathetic to that. So I would just encourage anyone who experiences that to be, you know, be very vocal with the front office and tell them you know, I've been here, you know, for what I consider an extended period of time, and you know, do I need to reschedule this appointment? Would it be better if I reschedule? Because that's very frustrating as a patient, and we understand that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not necessarily, and I always say, it's not necessarily what you say, but it's how you say it. So, you know,
exactly.
We want to, you know, we can explain our frustration, but we can do it in a, you know, a nice, tactful way. So thanks so much for that. So for those of you who did do the survey and this has happened, and that's, you know, things do happen. And so that's great. So remember, communication. If you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about how etiquette affects the medical field and, of course, courtesy on both sides of the counter. I know that Halloween is coming up, the trick-or-treat candy sweet time of the year. And I read something that that you said, which is just wonderful. We've got to talk about this for a minute. And then if you all have sent questions, we are going to get back to those because we do still have some more. But I want to make sure we keep this in. And I just wanted to read a little bit. Dr. Tammy, what you wrote, it says, ditch the candy. Visiting your dentist twice a year and brushing daily are great preventive measures, but doing away with excess sweets altogether would really give your teeth a healthy boost. And it goes on to say, kids can still have all the fun and trick-or-treating, and now their piggy banks will benefit as well. And on here, I thought this was really interesting. Global sugar consumption for children increases about 2% annually and currently sits at 50 million tons per year. I had to read that again. Global sugar. We're talking about sugar if you guys are just joining us and about trick-or-treat time is coming quickly. Global sugar consumption for children increases about 2% annually and currently sits at 50 million tons per year, which means parents need to be sure their kids' teeth are being cared for more than ever. Candy, as well as hurting children's teeth, can lead to, get your notepad out, parents, hyperactivity and weight gain. In some cases, the wrong types of candy can also lead to broken teeth and damaged braces. And this is a quote from Dr. Tammy. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I am really, when I read that, I am having major second thoughts because usually we host a little, like a festival for the kids. And generally, the main attraction is, of course, candy. So we don't want to make that the main attraction anymore.
Well,
I'm convicted by this.
Absolutely. You know, it's always a little bit, we're torn because we want the children to have a good time and have a great Halloween experience. So, you know, what we offer at our office is a candy buyback program. So when the kids go and trick-or-treat, they get to have all the fun of trick-or-treating, and they get to keep a little bit of the candy, and then they sell back to the dental office the remaining candy that they do not, well, that we encourage them not to eat. So with, like with my own children, I encourage them, okay, let's go trick-or-treating for 2 hours and collect as much candy as we can, and let's keep 5 or 6 pieces and sell the rest back to the dental office. And it's been very successful for us, you know, to kind of minimize the damage that we do with Halloween. And like I said, we don't want to take the fun away from the event, but we do want to encourage good, healthy habits, you know, and I think that's just very important. But Halloween is only one day a year. We have to focus on healthy habits every day. We have to eliminate sodas and juices and candy, you know, from our children's diets because it is very harmful, not just to the teeth, but to the overall health. And I think, you know, I think it's very important to teach our children those lessons, you know, and to balance it with a little good fun. Let them have a few pieces of candy, but not let them to binge on that candy for, you know, 2 weeks after Halloween. That's just a little excessive.
It is. And, you know, generally, because they collect so much and they figure, wow, you know, this will last me 2 or 3 weeks. This is great. But it's really not great for their teeth. And we are talking about, you know, being kind to your mouth, and it may taste it, but it's not necessarily good for you. And as you were speaking, I had a flashback to when I was young and I went trick-or-treating. And I remember, gosh, it was a group of us, and we came back, and we had enough candy to fill a trash bag. And so I'll never forget that we were so excited when we got home, and my mom made us throw it away. And I just could not understand. We had to throw it away. And, you know, I was thinking at the time, man, that was hard work. And we had to
throw
it in the trash. And she had some other little, you know, fruits, treats and things like that that we could eat. But she never really said anything, you know, about it, but you got to put that in the garbage. So we thought, wow. So I just had a little flashback about that. So what are, and I know you just said let them have maybe just, a, you know, 2 or 3 pieces or something like that, and that's the extent of it. But what are some other things? Because I'm thinking, I know that there are parents out there listening, and they just love, you know, giving out treats. So for those passing out treats, can you just give us some general ideas? I know I've bought before, like, the little, they're little, small, little coloring books and little packages of crayons and things like that. And I know I've given those out in the past. And, you know, sometimes the kids will look at you like, okay, so where's the real treat?
Right.
So what else do you think, and for those parents that are just really trying to wrap their mind completely around this and having to, you know, not shop for the, you know, 5-pound bags of Tootsie Roll Pops and the taffy and all those wonderful things that the kids like. What are maybe a couple other little, maybe fruit snacks, or what do you think? If they're going to be some carrots.
And that's there are several things that you can give out. You know, like you said, if you want to give out something, you know, candy related, but and you don't want to do like small, simple dollar store toys or something like that, you know, you can give out candy. The most important thing to remember is the worst kind of candy is something that is sugary and sticky. Those are the two things that do the most damage. So if you have something that's really sweet and sticky, that is going to be worse than something that's just simply sweet. So caramels are not good. Gummy, any kind of gummy candy, not good. Anything that sticks, wow, is very sticky and sticks to the tooth. Even a fruit snack, because it is sticky and kids don't generally do a great job brushing their teeth, that sugar sticks on the tooth for longer than, say, just a Hershey's Kiss would be a better choice, because it's sweet and chocolatey, but it generally does not stick to the tooth as much, and you can brush it away very easily. So that would be my suggestion. You know, I give out candy, but I also give out toothbrushes, which is a little too expensive to really, you know, for most people to give out. But I do want to encourage that balance. You know, I do give out candy, and I want the kids to have a great Halloween, but I also want to encourage good habits. So I stay away from anything that's very sugary and very sticky.
Wow, that is great information, because generally, you know, you hear on the front of snacks, you hear fruit snacks, and you think, oh, this can't be bad. But once you eat them, they are very chewy and sticky. And so,
right.
Wow, what a light bulb moment here.
Right.
Wow.
Fruit snacks are one of our offenders. Yeah, they're anything that has a a high sugar content that's sticky is not really good.
Mm-hmm. And so in other words, fruit snacks are not really fruit.
Right. And, you know, people tend to buy, the sugar-free fruit snacks, but sugar-free really only means that they're using a sugar substitute, which is not really that healthy either, if we're talking in a broader medical sense. So, you know, it's really hard.
Wow. Well, you can hear that, parents. So you're getting that a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks in advance. So no excuse, parents, to hand out all those sugary treats. Okay, it says, Etiquette Lady, thanks for reading my question. We are trying to limit the sugar in our diet. We've eliminated all soft drinks and replaced them with V8 splashes. According to the label, they have less sugar than standard orange juice and others. We also drink water. What is the doctor's take on this with the teeth? And this comes from Kelly from McDonough.
That's great. You know, I think eliminating juices and soft drinks with high sugar content, that's really a step in the right direction, not only for dental health, but for overall health. And I think water is always going to be the first choice. I'm not really familiar with the label on the V8, but I can tell you this, V8 is probably a suitable choice for a beverage, as long as it's not the only choice. You know, you really want to give high priority to just plain water. That is the best beverage that you can do for yourself, for your dental health, for your overall medical health as well. The only concern I would have with V8 is the acidity of it. You know, the problem with orange juice is it is a double offender as well. It is sugary and it's very acidic, and that is very bad for the enamel. So you have the acidity that's softening your tooth enamel, and then the sugar that's causing cavities. So it's really a double offender when you talk about orange juice. So you want to stay away from anything really acidic, but if you choose to have orange juice or V8 or any other kind of high acidity fruit beverage, then, you know, you just want to have that during the day, and then remember that the last thing you do at night is brush your teeth with a fluoride toothpaste so that enamel on your teeth can re-harden overnight and give you a little protection from all of those things that you've done during the day. You know, you want to brush and floss twice a day, three times a day even, and really minimize the effect of the sugar and the acid on your enamel.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the Talk Show. We are talking about etiquette and our health. We have on with us our special guest, Dr. Tammy Armstrong-Williams. In case you've just tuned us in, please make sure you go back and listen to the archive show so you can hear all the great information that she has shared with us this evening. Here's one that says, I'm a little nervous about x-rays because of cancer exposure. Can you please have your guest address that? And that comes from Felicia in California.
Yes, that's a very common fear in the dental practice. And I would just encourage you to do a little research on the x-ray exposure. Dental x-ray exposure, especially if you're in a high technology office that has digital x-rays, the exposure is very, very minimal. You actually get more exposure just walking around in our environment to radiation than you do with the radiation you get from a dental x-ray. So I would encourage your question, your caller, to really do some research on that. You know, if you research it, your fears will be lessened, and the benefit, what you have to do is you have to consider the benefit versus the risk. The risk is very minimal, and the benefit to having the dental x-rays one time a year is very great, because you want to catch things while they're small before it becomes a big problem and a major procedure.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And those of you that are listening to us live, we are going to go off the air here in just a moment, but we're going to continue on the backside. We do have a couple additional questions. And if we lose you, if you are listening live, and we do lose you in the next minute or so, then we ask you to just simply, you'll be able to go back and listen to the entire show because they are archived. Here's one that says, Etiquette Lady and Dr. Williams, sometimes I rinse my mouth with peroxide if I feel a bump coming or if my tongue looks white. Is this the proper thing to do? Maddie from Wisconsin.
You know, I would say that I would probably stay away from peroxide as a mouth rinse. Peroxide is not very good for the gum tissue, although it may make the sore heal quicker. If you do that often enough, it may actually damage the gum tissue or the tissue that you're trying to heal. You know, I would really stay away from that. If you see something that you're concerned with, I would talk to your dentist. Let them look at the area and let them guide you in the right direction as to what you should be doing for that area. I really encourage my patients not to use peroxide as a mouth rinse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about sometimes people will use like salt and warm water to rinse their mouth?
Yes, that's great. You know, salt and warm water really takes the soreness out. If you have an area in your mouth that you're experiencing some soreness, that's a great method to take the soreness out. You know, we encourage mouthwash rinses that have no alcohol, like Listerine Zero without alcohol. We encourage that kind of rinse. And then the warm salt water rinses over anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And then the final one we have here, it just simply says, how often should you see the dentist?
How often should you see your dentist?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, obviously, if you're having an issue or a problem, you should go to your dental provider right away. Otherwise, you should probably see your dentist every 6 months for a normal routine cleaning. If you have gum disease, your dentist may recommend a more frequent cleaning. I have patients that come in every 3 to 4 months for dental cleanings. And then I also have patients who have very little tartar buildup, who really, you know, are really rare to have a patient that can go a full year without seeing the dentist. But the rule of thumb is every 6 months, unless you have an issue. And, of course, if you have a dental issue that's bothering you, go see your provider right away.
Okay. Well, wow. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for enlightening our listeners. We certainly do appreciate it. And, again, if you've just joined the show, you want to go back and listen to the entire show as it will be archived. We certainly appreciate you. Thanks again, listeners, for supporting and listening, everyone who sent us questions, those joining us for the first time. I want to say welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. We certainly appreciate you. We're glad that you are part of our etiquette family. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen as well, because our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can only do that one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as we remind you each and every week, be sure to initiate a random act of kindness this week, okay? Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Good night. Take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.